Four. Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host. Once again, I am so proud to bring live music to local television. My special guests today are a duo with an added member called Melly and Joe with Tom. Welcome, guys. Hi. And girls.
Hi. Glad to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this is exciting. We tried it once before, and now we're getting it done. So actually, I was on the internet before I came here, and I see you guys have a big gig coming up Thursday. Am I correct?
Yeah, we're playing at Lucy's Lounge.
In Pleasantville,
which I'm sure you know a few players that play there.
Sure.
Actually, I think it was Petey Hopp who you've had on here before, who told me about you originally.
Yeah, Petey Hopp runs the jam at Lucy's on Monday, and he's thrown a lot of talented people to me.
And that's where we met him.
That's how we met Petey, that's right.
Lucy's Lounge.
Right. Now, how did you two meet each other? How did you two hook up?
Well... You want me to talk?
Yeah, you go.
I met him 10 years ago. I was 19, and he was playing up at Hunter Mountain with a fellow musician, a mutual friend of ours. And we hit it off. And it didn't really begin musically. At that time, I was just singing, and I was, showing off. Oh, I can sing, and I was trying to impress him. I was into musicians, and he actually encouraged my singing. He said, you have a beautiful, natural voice, and he built up my sort of musical self-esteem, so to speak. So,
well, she played a little guitar, and she had this lovely little operatic, beautiful, crisp, clean voice, and I loved it, you know, and she wasn't really interested in playing music. She was just playing a few chords and guitar, and she was actually writing. She's always been a writer. She's creative that way.
And he sort of brought me out of my shell in terms of actually doing something about it. And that's pretty much how it began.
Now here's the $30 million question. Did you start out romantically or friends?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was the first.
Well, there's an old friend thing?
Well, now there is.
Well, we were friends at the beginning and, and then romantically, and then we decided as we were going out, we sort of moved in together quickly. I was living in White Plains and she was living in Albany, going to SUNY Albany, right?
Yeah.
And then she actually dropped out of that school.
Oh, great.
Well, she didn't she was living in Albany. She was far away from all her friends and everything. Yeah. She kind of was more comfortable being in this area. So slowly she moved in. I don't know, all girls do that, right?
Slowly, my own way.
And then little by little, I bought an 8-track recorder and we started recording some of what I thought were good songs that she wrote, and I sort of added, I helped her, you know, arrange some of the music, and from there on, and we got more serious. And in the meantime, I was playing with Tom here. I had a band called Midnight Special that we had started together, and we were playing on a regular basis weekends, places like McLean Avenue and Queens and Westchester. We were playing the Dooley Max, right? And Tom, by the way, is a fabulous musician. He's just a multiplayer. He just plays everything. He plays great guitar, violin, keyboard. And if anybody needs somebody in a band, this is the man.
Now, what kind of music did the Midnight Special play?
We did a variety of top 40, classic rock, and Irish music. We were playing a lot in the Irish scene, and Tommy was playing the fiddle, we were doing things like Devil Went Down to Georgia, and also Irish waltzes, we used to play a place called Rory Dolan's, which is, Rory Dolan's, and we would play there at least twice a month at the time. There was a lot of music going on there in the Irish scene, I think we were a good band. We were a very well-known band, and we were working every weekend. And we went on for, 5 years, I would say. Mm-hmm.
What happened?
What happened? It's sort of my fault. I joined another band, not to be disrespectful to you, but we were after 5 years, you know what happened with bands, we have different interests and we sort of were falling apart, and I don't think we should have done that, because we were a very good band and we had a reputation, but But we've always kept in touch, though. You know, I joined a band called the New York Show Band, which is a professional Irish band. And then from then on, and I joined another band, which was Good Clean Fun. You might have heard of that band, because they've been around for a lot of years. And now we're called The Very Best, and that's what I'm currently doing.
Now, you mentioned that's kind of a general business gig.
It's a
wedding,
general, yes.
Any occasion.
We're now mainly a wedding band. But we play bars a lot. We play bars in Connecticut. We used to play Dooley Max when he was around in Westchester.
Right.
We still play at Rory Dolan's with that band. Tommy has played with us once in a while. We've used him as a freelance musician. He's come in and play some keyboards and as needed.
So inquiring minds want to know, are you still a couple at this point? Or?
Yes, we've been together.
Oh, I thought you were talking about that.
No.
They're like more of a married couple.
Yeah, no.
No, you two.
Yeah, we live actually right here in White Plains. Oh, cool. And, 10 years, so, yes.
That's nice. Now, you do music full-time, you do music plus.
I've been doing original music for the past, 5 years, playing CB's Gallery, Bitter End, those places, and it was a great opportunity for me to get experience playing live. And more recently, I wanted to do, more cover music just to hone my musicianship and to get better as a musician, even with regards to getting better with my originals. So I've had the opportunity to play places like Lucy's Lounge and Fogarty's and other local Westchester wonderful venues. And, I'm enjoying it. So.
And basically people can check out your MySpace page, which is myspace.com/Melly and Joe.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
I'm sure it's flashing right underneath us as we speak. All right, well, I'm excited to hear you play. The sound check was awesome. So I'm going to turn this towards you.
Okay.
Everybody make sure you got your volumes on.
Check.
Everything's ready.
Check.
And what's the first? We're going to do 3 songs, right?
Yeah. The first song is called Patiently. And I guess the words would speak for themselves.
Let's rock.
Okay,
to me, and I'll be waiting.
nice. I especially enjoyed your intricate U2-like guitar parts.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
Well, we don't like to get too complicated, but...
It's nice when those little arpeggiated things high up on the neck. That was cool. Everything sounds great. So what are you going to do next?
Well, the next song is called Annabelle, and I have to say this in advance because I've had a lot of people come up to me and tell me they like the song, but a lot of people think it's about a woman or my lover, a female lover, which there's nothing wrong, but I just wanted to clear up that this song is about my cat, who... And some people will laugh when I say it's my cat, but I love her dearly.
She was a great cat.
Epilepsy, and she was dying, so this is about that. Maybe I shouldn't...
We spent an arm and a leg on this cat because she had a very rare epileptic disease. And she would have epileptic fits, and we took her to a neurologist and specialist, and we did everything we could, but, she suffered a lot. But she was a good cat, though, very loving. And
her name was
she
Annabelle.
She lived life to the fullest. So Melly gave her Ode to Annabelle.
I originally had a more of a soprano voice, and then I took time, over years to build up the lower register. So I've developed it. Yeah.
And why would you do that? If you have a beautiful voice here, why would you try to bring it down?
Because I think for any musician, it's always good to explore outside your territory and try to challenge yourself. And if you have it in you, I mean, I think anyone can build and expand their ranges. And a lot of it had to do with wanting to do cover. I mean, I did, you know, like cover music to sing, sound, you know, you want to sound like other musicians. And I think it's a good skill to have, like to develop. I'll always have the high note, you know, I know I'll always have that, and I guess it doesn't hurt to
Well, she had no choice, because...
or put it that way.
Doing originals for a lot of years, and, you know, you have this one dimension, but when she started doing covers, and I wanted her to do covers, because I think it expanded her vocal range and her understanding of music. Because now she's a full-fledged cover musician, and she's doing, unlike before when she was just doing originals and maybe a few covers, mm-hmm. our own style. Now we have to play to the people, and we're doing songs like The Pretenders and
Pink,
you know. So, and that forces you to.
Well, you can change the key to any song. You don't have to do songs in the original keys.
Yeah, we're pretty strict that way, right, Tom?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I know Tom doesn't have a mic, but we're like pretty much like we play. We try to play
like
close
that.
To the record, so that people can hear it. You know what I mean? It's like it's also great. Don't get me wrong, to do an original song, your own style. But if you're doing 4 hours of music, I think it works pretty well. If you're doing a U2 song to sort of make it sound like U2, Led Zeppelin, and then we'll do a song maybe like Damien Rice, and we'll turn it our own flavor.
So it's interesting. So your rule is it has to be done in the original key.
Well, I
actually, with certain songs, I change keys, but for me, I just enjoy the challenge, you know, bettering myself vocally.
I think it sounds better. I mean, if you're doing a song that Bono sings, you too, and if you sort of do it like, you know, 3 steps down, it doesn't sound like Bono anymore, right?
And actually, the people, the audience can tell. They will come up to you and they'll say, you sound exactly like the record. Which sometimes they like, and then it depends what audience you're playing to. Some people want it more of an original, but to have that ability to work on it.
So what are you going to play next for us?
It's a song called Keepers of Your Life, and it speaks for itself, I guess. You want to count in?
Okay. 1, 2, 3, go!
Now I'm riding and singing the song.
Man, that's nice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, you are very blessed.
Thank you.
You are blessed because you have a beautiful voice, but you're blessed to have these two people with
you.
Because he adds so much with interesting guitar parts. Like, I'm thinking, I would never in a million years play those guitar parts or think of them.
Absolutely.
And they're very nice. They kind of make... I mean, I love...
The dimension of the song.
Yeah, I mean, it really, and... Actually, this kind of reminded me a little bit of La Vida Loca, where you were hitting your violin in time. So it's very impressive, very impressive. Are you trained vocally?
I took my chorus teacher, who changed my entire life in high school. I went to Bronxville High School, and she is the one who noticed me, and not noticed, but she said, you know, you have a talent, I think you should take vocal lessons. I took lessons in high school, but that's it, pretty much. But it was because of her encouragement that I actually really stuck with music beyond high school.
Now, just interesting, out of curiosity, do you all practice a certain amount every day? How long do you practice every day?
Oh, I can practice for 4 hours. And to me, I guess I don't consider it practicing. I'm always wanting to learn a new song. So I try to imitate their vocals, and I'll listen to their vocals or their guitar parts, and then go over it over and over again to get the nuances of what they're doing. And then practice.
Well, you stand in front of YouTube. She's got a little computer.
Yeah.
That's what YouTube
helps.
Is great. You just listen to any song, either live or...
And then he practices, too.
Well, okay, so you're really practicing on imitating the artists.
Both imitating and learning their skills. Certain nuances they'll do, you can carry those skills on to another song. You know, certain trills that they might do will actually do something too. So it's two in one.
Interesting. What about you, Joe?
Well, I have different, you know, I practice with her on the originals. I practice with what I have to do with my band, the very best. And because we have ongoing gigs and weddings, and every month or so I might have to do a couple of wedding songs, and I'll have to learn them right then and there. And that's a good band. You should check that out, because we have some good players there. We have Aline Fogarty, Lincoln Hubley, and John Marjavi, and Frankie Lee, and they're all master musicians. And the other day we did, for a wedding, about a month ago, we did a song from Queen, you know, and... without any rehearsal, we all learned our parts, and we played it for the main wedding song. And "You're My Best Friend," that's the one I couldn't think of. And I was like, wow, I can't believe we did that.
So let's get to the canned questions. The canned questions. The questions, you know, like the actor's studio that they ask every week. So two CDs that you would bring to a desert island, Melly.
Okay. Well, I thought about it, and... they would probably be mixed CDs. There's not, of artists, I love too many artists and I get tired of a same CD if I listen to it over and over again, because that particular artist might not fulfill all my musical, like, interests in one CD. They might have one or two songs that really go right through me that I really like. And so I would make two CDs of a plethora of artists. And I can't think of specific artists at the moment. I can give you a long range of them.
Sure.
Such as Coldplay, from today's stuff, Coldplay, Keen, to U2, to the Beatles, Beyonce, Pink, just anything that of their particular album that I might like. So it would be mixed.
Okay. That's kind of the iPod generation. That's why the album has died.
That's why it's all MP1, MP3. And.
Well, we were like that before the iPod generation.
I was.
I've always been ADD in music. I've never had one favorite band.
Or one.
What about you? What would you?
Well, if I had to have one CD, it would be...
The question was two.
Two, okay. One of them would definitely be a Beatles CD.
What I'm just laughing because he's a lawyer.
The
question was two.
Two. Okay.
Answer it.
That's a tough one, too. I would say maybe the Beatles Masters, or the Beatles Greatest Hits, or something like
that. Okay, that would be one.
And
still.
Because the Beatles, like, they covered everything, I think. And second, maybe, I don't know, I'm like her, too. I mean, I love bands like Led Zeppelin, U2, Pink Floyd, and but I don't know if I could listen to the whole. Maybe I would say a U2 CD, maybe the greatest hits.
Okay. I think as the people that I interview get younger and younger, I'm going to start having to ask, what's on your iPod?
I think that's more feasible
than
today.
We didn't mic you up, so you can only just sit there and look beautiful.
Talk.
You have to talk.
So anyway, people can check out your website, see where you're playing. This show's going to air many times. So some of the clubs that you play on a continuing basis would be Lucy's in Pleasantville, Fogarty's in Bronxville.
Smith's in New York City. It's another great venue.
Burke's.
Where's Smith's again? That's on...
Smith is on, I believe, 8th Avenue, 44th.
And Burke's is in the Bronx. Anyway, thank you guys for hanging out with me for part one of the show.
It gets
more fun next show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Roger.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, I think you want to turn it on the tree before.